Welcome to the fifth episode of our podcast, Up on Foil, where we talk about and talk to people who enjoy being on foil. And I'm Matt, currently in Spain.
And I'm Gael, currently in Cyprus, living in Cyprus. And we have a special guest today from France.
Yes, Ludovic, or Ludo Freefoiler. He's doing ultra long runs and the freestyle moves on his tiny lakes and lake, and he shows it to us on YouTube and Insta. Welcome,
yeah.
Ludo.
Thanks a lot, yeah. So I'm riding in Germany. I'm French, but I'm doing some foiling in Germany, in Bavaria, close to Munich.
So that lake is in Germany, actually.
The lake is in Germany, yeah. So I'm living in Ingolstadt.
All right, because that was going to be one of my biggest questions, where that lake is.
So this is in Ingolstadt. Ingolstadt, this is quite a small small town, north from Munich. So between Munich and Nürnberg in Germany. And so this is quite a small lake. I do not have a big lake like Bodensee or other big lakes in Europe. But there are a lot of lakes here in this area, quite small. But I can change from time to time if I want to try something else, to try other beach starts and so on.
But it's cool, or it's fun, because that lake, it looks small on your tracks, but as you're doing these ultra long runs, it's probably bigger than I thought.
This is becoming a bit small for me, but at the beginning it was quite big, actually. Yeah. So this is to go around the lake. This is 5 kilometers. So 5 kilometers when I'm close to the shore, and I do it pumping like in 20 minutes. So going from one side to the other side of the lake, this is maybe about, I would say 700 meters, maybe 800 meters. And if I go around, yeah, this is about five kilometers. And this is the biggest that I have here in this area. If I want a bigger one, so I have to move not that far, maybe 50, 60 kilometers from here, but close to my home, this is the biggest that I have, with a lot of nice beaches and so on to get started. So a small one, but I'm having a lot of fun even on this kind of small lakes. Yeah.
But if you fall on the other side of the lake, you cannot start there. You have to walk back. Or is there a possibility to start on the other side as well?
So that's why I'm doing this on this lake, because I know it very well. And I know a lot of places around this lake where I can start. There is a side of this lake, so the south side of the lake, there are only trees. And if I fall there, then I have to swim. But otherwise, this is safe. So when I'm a bit tired at the end of the ride, if I'm a bit tired, so I will be in the area where I know that I can start again from the beach. Yeah. So, but it's fine. So there is a lot of it's quite deep, the lake. So you have a lot of places where you can start quite easily on this one. That's why I'm doing all these long distance rides on this one. This is my favorite for this one. Yeah. So at the beginning, when I started doing some long distance, so I went beach from beach around the lake. And so I just discovered new places where I could start, and step by step. So now I can start from one beach and go around the lake and come back on the same spot, basically.
Cool. And we want to know, like, you're always beach starting, but and we've never seen a dog inside that lake. So is there a dog? I mean, you learned from a dog, I guess, right? Didn't you?
So from there is no dog here on this lake. And there is a little places here where there is a dog. So I started 2 years ago from another lake, a bit far away from here. There was some small dock, but then I had to switch very fast to the beach start, because so it was too difficult to go there every time for the dock start. This one is much near from my home, so it was better for me to learn the beach start as quickly as possible, and then to start from this lake. Yeah.
And you use the chair as well, right? When I look back on your videos, or I think about your videos, first it was the chair, and then he put the like wooden thing on your sup and start from the sup and whatnot.
So the chair and this what I call this this board holder. So I put at the end of the stand-up paddle board to make like a break, so that I can run on the on this board. So the chair and this this board holder on the paddle board, stand-up paddle board. This was after learning the pitch start. I was looking for some ways when you do not have a dock, like to simulate kind of dock if you do not have it, and try like this. Yeah. So there is I was pumping as well in Italy. Again, maybe you know this place, Candia. This is
very close to where my mother is living, actually, like an hour drive from there. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Great. So and there, so Candia Lake, this is close to Torino, in Italy.
Yeah.
And there is not really places for a beach start as well. So that's why I used this this board holder. I put at the back of my standard paddle, and I was able to start from there, and this lake is very beautiful. There we have the mountains around the lake and so on. So it was very, very good to start. So yeah, at least actually to start anywhere with this kind of things like this. Yeah.
I always see that you're beach surfing, but not on a sandy beach, kind of like a rocky beach. So didn't you scratch your foil at the beginning?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. I did scratch the foil a lot. The stones, they are quite small, so there are no big damage on the foil. So this is not that much. And even if you have some scratches on the foil, I think it doesn't. This is not such a big deal actually. So it looks not that good. So you have some scratches on your foil, but at the beginning, if you want to learn, so it's gonna happen. So beach start, there is no other choice. So it's gonna scratch it. So I was a bit sad at the beginning when I touched the ground with my foil. This stuff is quite expensive and so on. But at the end, even if you have some scratches, this is working fine. So the profile is not changed of your foil. So maybe you have a bit more drag, but it's not. I think it's you do not see the difference.
No, at our speed, it's not
yeah.
So, plus, I talked to two episodes ago. We talked to Cody Eisenhut, and he's like an expert in profiles and whatnot. And he said that if you have scratches underneath, it's not that big of a deal, because as the water flows slower underneath than over it, it doesn't make that much of a difference. If you have the hicks and the nudges on top, that would be a bigger problem. Plus, if you use it on pebble beaches, and then you get the big big hinges and whatnot, and then you can just go on sand, and then it sands it down, right?
Yeah, it's like this more or less, yeah. Yeah, but for this kind of small stone, so I only have scratches on the back of the foil. So as you say, this is no big deal. Yeah.
So you said you started two years ago. How long did it take you to get from like trying it for the first time to get to 1 minute? Because like the 1 minute mark is like kind of a big deal for many pump foilers.
Yeah. So I started, I can remember because I bought my first setup. So the surf foil board, it was in June 2022. So I started in June 2022, more or less. And I can remember when I went to Italy in December, so a bit more than 8 months later. I had my a big run on this lake, so Candia Lake. It was more than 1.5 minutes. So I would say it took me maybe a couple of months, maybe 5 months to reach 1 minute. At the beginning, I used a very beginner setup, so this low aspect ratio front wing. So something that if I'm using it right now, it would be very, very painful for the lakes. I use it this summer in France, where I have this setup now, and it feels very not good now. But at the beginning, I think it was a very good one. to learn the technique, the proper technique of pumping. And I had with this beginner huge low aspect ratio front wing a good feeling to get started. You have a lot of lift, and this is very stable, so you can make mistakes and so on. You are not going to fall that easily. And with this one, I learned very fast. That's why often I recommend this kind of beginner low aspect ratio front wing for beginners, someone wanted to get started. I'm not sure this is the best options, because now you have this high aspect ratio front wings and so on, but it did work very fine for me. So this is always my recommendation when someone asks me how I did it at the beginning. I used this one. It was very, very, quite easy to get started. So,
and you do you still own that big front wing?
So this is in France. So I'm not sure. With me in Germany, so that's why I cannot use it and compare it with my current high aspect ratio front wing. It's a shame, because in France, so this is in the ocean, and I have other setups and so on. So to make a comparison, this is for me right now a bit difficult. Yeah,
because that would be super cool. I asked Kyle as well if he has his beginner gear or the one he started with to compare it to, but he also doesn't have it anymore. So that would be super cool to see how, when you really get it down, to compare it to your first front wing. That would be cool.
Be very, very interesting. So this is. Yeah, this is quite something that you can find quite easily. So this is, I have to look for it to ask some people if they have this this one. This is beginner, so this is very cheap, second handed. You can have it for very almost nothing. So it would be very interesting to make this comparison. Yeah.
Yeah, the cool thing is that you were like pumping super close to me. We didn't know it, and then we started almost. At the same time, but I probably started with the absolutely wrong gear. That's why it took me like 1.5 years to get to the minute mark, and it took you 6 months. So of course, maybe you pumped also more than me. Maybe you're also coming from another background, but this is the demonstration of how important the proper foil is at the beginning. Like perhaps it does not necessarily have to be like the super high aspect ratio that you, as you said, but like if it's too small, like the one that I was using, if it's too thin, too fast, then of course you're not going to learn it. Yeah, so it's very important. Yeah, very good comparison.
You are going to be as well frustrated at the beginning if you take something too challenging, too more challenge. And I think you always have to pay a bit attention when you start pumping. Because if you do not have the proper gear at the beginning to make it as easy as possible, then you are going to be a lot frustrated. You are going to watch some videos, some guys pumping effortless and so on. You are going to say, yeah, why I can't do it? This is my way. I do not have the physical conditions and so on. And you might give up. This is a shame because this is so, so awesome. So start with something very, the easiest that you can, because the most important, this is to get pumping, to be able to pump for a couple of seconds. Then you will have fun at the very beginning when you start pumping. When I start pumping just for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, I can remember because this is just 2 years ago. It was so much fun at that time already. So start low with something easy, second-handed. You do not have to buy something in carbon, pro, very expensive, and so on. And so you are making sure you are you are sure that you have all you have to make the start as easy as possible.
I remember the first time I could try one of these high aspect foils. I managed to just like do a simpler round and come back to the dock. That for me was already like an achievement. And then I tried this super high aspect foil and I couldn't even stand on it. I just started tilting and falling down slowly. I had no chance of staying up.
Yeah, because the lift is that much, so you have to be in control with your foil. It is pushing a lot, and you have to be precise with this kind of high aspect ratio front. And as beginner, you are not precise at all. You don't know what to do, so you need a bit more time. And the high aspect ratio will not give you that time on the foil. The low aspect ratio, you can push a little bit as you want. If you push wrong, you are not going to have this big reaction from the foil, and it's going to be easier at the beginning.
What is your current top time? Because for me, it's like 7 minutes, and I would like to know how can I get to your hour?
This is all about the technique and the optimization of the technique. So what I do, and this is what I'm still doing and still learning, this is when I do for a long run, I'm always focusing on how to relax on the foil. So I'm not focusing on when I push on the foil, but when I relax. And when you get this feeling that you can, during one pump, relax for quite a long time, then you will be able to pump for a very long time. So this is optimization, doing very nice oscillations and pushing always at the right time. So not never against the foil. So I'm doing some, trying to do some videos, try to explain it. This is a little bit not easy to explain that this, but I'm always pushing with the foil and never against the foil.
Absolutely. I totally agree. We were discussing a couple of days ago in my small community on WhatsApp about this. And it's all about timing. And as you said, is the foil. The foil is deciding when you should press, not you. Like if you press when the board is still pitching up, we're still going up, you're going to be super efficient. You're not going to pump efficiently and then you're going to slow down after a few pumps. So yeah, this is probably the key, as you said. And I would say also learning to use both legs at the same time, because if you're using only one leg, then you're going to get tired much quicker.
So Gal, is that when you talk about this sloppy stance, you always say you have to be sloppy. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah. The other American people call it loose. So perhaps that's the right term. But no, yeah, sloppy, at the end of the day, it's, in my opinion, the easiest and easiest way to explain it is hope and hop forward, not up. And then be loose so that the foil can rise underneath your feet. And then you can feel it. You feel when, if you really project yourself forward and you hop high, then you can feel the foil rising underneath your feet. And you can see that there is a point where it doesn't rise anymore. And at that point, if you really projected yourself forward, then it's going to start pitch down because your weight is in front. And at that point, you can press with both legs evenly and efficiently gain speed to gain back then that height in the next pump. That's my explanation.
Yeah, but you're right. So the foil, it decides where to go, and you just you have to let it go up and down, and this is so never going against the foil. If you are pushing hard to change the direction of the foil, then you are burning your legs. You are going to accelerate your heart rate, and you are going to pump for a couple of minutes, but not that long because you are going to be exhausted very very.
I was curious about your background a little bit. A lot of people who are into these long pumpings have a huge endurance sport background. So, do you have one?
Actually, no. So, I do not. So, I love doing sport. So I do not run every week. I do not go cycling every week, rowing, this kind of stuff. So this is, and I have not that much time, so I'm only focusing on foiling right now. So depending on the weather conditions, if this is windy, I'm going to go for wing foil. And there is no wind for pump foiling or now sub foiling a little bit. And what I do, this is in average, a week average for me, this is three sessions, more or less. Three sessions of foiling. And this is about one and a half hour each session, and nothing more. That's why. So the physical conditions, of course, this is there are some people they can do a marathon, so pumping for 40, 50 minutes. So the limit is not done yet. There are crazy people doing incredible things, but to pump for very long time. What that means, very long time, for 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like this. The physical conditions, this is something important. But I think you do not need to go running every day or cycling every day to be in a very fit situation, physical conditions to pump for this kind of long time.
I totally agree. But I'm not happy about that because I used to run marathons and did Ironman and whatnot. but I still cannot get over 7 minutes. So it's really not about that physical fitness.
So this is the technique. So as Gael said, this is as well. So the technique, just you have to get this this feeling on the foot that you are not getting tired when you pump.
You said in one of the last videos, I think it was, you said something about switching the stance while pumping. So if you get exhausted on one stance, you just adjust it a little bit so you have some other pressure. Is that what you said?
I move a little bit the feet, and the front feet, especially the front feet, I move it a little bit. This is just as well. I don't know if this is a good tip, this one, but this is what I'm doing from time to time. So I'm going to move a little bit my feet, and moving my front foot, I'm going to relax a little bit, so to put away the pressure for just maybe 0.2 seconds. I don't know. And if I move my front foot a little bit closer to the back foot, then the front foot, when I push on my back foot to climb, the front foot is going to push as well more efficiently. So the stance, the shorter the stance is, the better it is to pump, so to push with your two legs to climb. But if you are a very small stance, this is uncomfortable, so this is not so stable. So you are losing in stability. So a few centimeters, you can, depending on your feeling, you can adjust a little bit your foot position. And the idea, it's always to have a good feeling when you pump. So if you are not so happy with your stance when you are pumping, or you need another position, this is what I'm doing when I'm pumping, to move a little bit my feet.
But you never switch sides. You never go with the left foot forward.
So this one, and I think this is it could be a very good idea and a good way of pumping for a much longer time. But I'm not that fit yet to switch when I'm tired and to pump for a long time on my goofy side, so my goofy stance. So this is something that I have to work on. I can switch while pumping, but I do it just like this for freestyle sessions. I switch and then I pump a little bit on my goofy side, but just for a couple of seconds. So this is still challenging for me.
I want to get into your freestyle moves. Just one last question about these long distance things, because once you were going for that long distance and really wanted to set a new record, I guess, and you hit some seaweed. How frustrating is it for you when you have like 45, 50 minutes and then you hit some seaweed?
Yeah, this is a lot of big frustration, actually. Yeah. Especially if you feel good and you are about to break your record, this is very, very, very frustrating. Yeah. Because I'm tired, so I cannot start again on the same session to break my record, and I have not that time as well to start again like this. So this is very, very frustrating. Yeah, but in summer this is like this. So in this kind of lake, so you have a lot of grass, and they are coming from the bottom, and very, very long grass, and they are going to touch the water at the top, and so you have to pay attention. And so this is a very big frustration, yeah. But no big deal. You have to. But this is incredible. The drag that you have when you get stuck like this. So you have no chance. So you have to push a lot if you want to get back to your starting point, or you just give up and you swim.
Yeah, you know what they're doing in like wing foil races and wind foil races when they feel that they have some. Stay with some cigarettes on the foil. They're jumping. So we have to learn how to jump with to hold it
with the big foil, the drag of the seaweed.
I was trying to reach the weed with my hand, but it was not successful as well. So. We have to find work something out. Yeah.
And since you are talking about freestyling, What do you, because there are really not many tutorials up there on YouTube, and I'm not good enough to teach it. But how would you get into these freestyle moves, like sitting on the board, touching the water? So what's the best approach to these things?
So I think this is doing it always when you are trying something new, pumpfiling, to do it step by step. So you have different kind of small exercises, especially gliding exercises. So you do not try to do the whole trick at once, but you can divide the move step by step and then focus just on the first part of the trick. Then you get to the next one. So when you start a trick, there is always this this phase. For instance, when you want to gain in speed and to be high on the mast, so this is always the first approach or the first exercise that you can work on: how to accelerate on the foil and how to get high on the foil before starting something, and then you can just glide. And then there are always the second phase. This is to get in position. For instance, sitting on the board, so this is, you are going to get low on your knees, and this is always something that you can try at the beginning, doing it like this, step by step, yeah. Trying to get to stay in control with your foil. So take the time to glide and to get in certain position, and then to glide and to pay attention on how you feel on the foil, and then step by step you are going to increase the difficulty of your tricks and to make it work hopefully.
You have very good tutorials, step by step tutorials. I like the one sitting down. I tried the Superman one before, but do you use different foils for freestyling compared to these long distance things?
No, because when I started this freestyle tricks, I used the same setup as the one that I use for long distance. So this is, I do not need, especially if you're with this kind of freestyle moves where you need to glide, you need sometimes gliding, I'm using the same setup. If I want to turn fast, sharply, then I can change the stab to have a smaller one to gain in reactivity. But otherwise, I stay with the same setup. And staying with the same setup, I think this is good as well to be able to do as much as you can with the same setup, to get used to it, to learn how it I think this is not so a good idea to change a lot your setup, because you need a lot of time with your setup to learn how it works, to have a good feeling with it, to control it, and so on. So changing the setup now for these kind of things, I think you can do both activities with the same one.
Yeah, exactly. Probably the only limitations, as you said, when it comes to freestyling with a big foil are just carving, sharp turns, and hollies and these kind of things. But of course, those are very, very advanced things. So I agree with you in terms of not switching the foil too many times, especially at the beginning. But then I mentioned this thing in one of my videos, and Rob also mentioned that it's good at the beginning to stick to one foil and to become very, very good with that setup. But then once you are comfortable with that setup, if you try many different setups and you switch between foils and brands, then you're going to be so versatile that you're able to ride almost anything, and you'll be comfortable with almost anything. So that's something that maybe we should keep in mind for experienced foilers.
Yeah, and this is a lot of fun as well. So you can pump with a particular foil, and then you change, and you have a total different feeling on the water, going faster, for instance, and so on. So this is every foil has a way of flying, and this is a lot of fun to change as well, and to try different kind of things. So if you have some friends and so on with different kind of foils, this is a very good experience and a lot of fun to try different kind of foils. Yeah.
And since we're talking about foils, what's the smallest foils that you have that you've ever tried, or that you're planning to try, or that I see that you are more into free foiling than fast foiling. So tell us about your fast foils, because since you are a wing foiler, I guess that you also have something faster, right? Have you tried to pump that?
I did try, but I'm not done yet with this. So the smallest one that I pumped, and this is quite a big one actually. And so this is a surface of 1550 square centimeters, with a wingspan of 116, I think 116 centimeters. So this is quite a big one. So very small one. This is something that's in the coming weeks that I want to try to use my foil from wing foiling to know which one I can pump and try to go faster. So this is something that I will do in the coming weeks, but I do not have such experience yet with this kind of stuff. I tried once beach starts. It was 1250 square centimeters, but just once, and it didn't work. But this one, I think I will be able to do it. So it will be the next challenge to try this one. I have to find the proper beach, a sand beach for this one. And because when you start, or a dock, but a dock, I do not have it right here. So I have to find something out, but I'm working on it.
That's actually a beautiful segue, using your wing foil gear to maybe pump. Did you first wing and then change into pump foiling?
Yes. So I started wing foiling 3 years ago. So it was the first setup, the first foil activity that I did, wing foiling. And wing foiling, this is for sure, when you want to go for pump foiling, if you are wing foiling, this is a lot of help, because this is the biggest, the better exercise that I think you can do. Wing foiling, so you put your wing behind you and you pump for a couple of seconds, the longer that you can. And to learn, without having to start, to learn how to pump, this is the best way, I think, of doing it.
Was that your first water sport as well, wing foiling, or did you windsurf before, or do something else?
A bit of surfing, a bit of kitesurf, a little bit of all these activities. When I was in the going in vacation on the ocean, but I'm not living close to the ocean or to the sea, so it was very frustrating for me not being able at the beginning to do it in inland where there is only lakes. And I did a bit of wakeboarding as well, wakeboard. But then I discovered foiling, and I discovered as well that this is possible to do it in lakes, so not only in the ocean, and this is always as well a lot of fun doing it in lakes. So I had a bit of background in this water activity, but not that much.
How was that feeling for you? For me, the first time on foil was incredible, and I really got addicted. Was that the same with you?
I still can remember the feeling that you have when you fly for the first time, like the sound that it makes. It's very, very quiet, especially it was in the lake, so it was not that windy. And so just getting up on the foil for the first time, and then almost no sound, so it was very, very silent, and flying like this, so this is, it was quite magical. Yeah, so the first time flying a foil, this is something incredible. Yeah,
I totally agree about the feeling of flying in like small flat lakes, because like super quiet, nobody's there, and you can really only hear the foil. Goosebumps. Yeah.
And pumping, yeah, you're right. So pumping, this is even greater than wing foiling, because wing foiling, you have a bit of wind, so the lake is not flat and so on. But pumping for the first time in a very quiet, no wind lake, this is just magical. So this sensation of flying, gliding, so this one is magical. Yeah. That's why when you get pumping just for a couple of seconds, this is already magical. So you do not need to pump for 20 minutes, 30 minutes to have fun. When you pump for a couple of seconds, this is already done. So you're already addicted to it for sure. Yeah.
And now you change to flat water sup paddling. And you got that pretty quickly. Or was it just on video that it looked quick?
No. So it went very, very quickly. So for this, I used a huge front wing. So 186 centimeters wingspan with a big surface of 2,400 square centimeters. So very huge, giant front wing. And I used my my inflatable board, so downwind board that I'm using for light wing conditions, wing foiling. And so it went, it worked very, very easily for me. So it happens on the first session using this this huge front wing. It did work. Yeah.
Have you tried it in waves as well, or just on your lake?
Just on the on my lake. No, so on waves. No. So this is a problem. So for such a small lakes, to have waves, it has to be very windy, very, very windy. And yeah, so I have to find a bigger one in the ocean.
On Lake Constance, you can probably get some waves.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Lake Constance, yeah, Bodensee. So this is not that far. So this is one of the biggest lake, not that far from where I'm living. And would be nice to try there. Yeah.
Since I'm also getting into it, because it makes more sense for me to do that. Since especially in winter, we've got some big winds and some waves. So, like, what's the suggestions that you might have? Because okay, first of all, you need to be able to stand on the board and to go straight, then be able to pick up speed. Like to paddle efficiently, but probably the hardest part, especially if someone doesn't know how to pump yet, is learning to coordinate these bumps that you have to do to take off and at the same time paddle. So how can you coordinate these two movements?
This is so for paddle, so stand up paddle, especially in waves. So I had a bit of background as well, so I did it when I was younger in the ocean. So the stability on the paddle, so I had so I think for the stand-up paddle, this is better to start without a foil at the beginning. At the beginning, if you have some waves, you can go with it without the foil, trying to surf a little bit. Or if you are if you have a lake or a river, then you can go for a ride and to learn how to pump efficiently and to be balanced on your board. Because especially this downwind board, they are very, very narrow. So the bright, this is not that much, and it feels very, very unstable at the beginning. So you can use this kind of downwind board, wing foiling as well, because wing foiling, you will get, this is not the same, but you will improve your stability on this kind of board. And then this is I think this is just a matter of trying. And when you push when you do this these strokes, this is and you have so these two movements, the strokes, so with the paddle, and you have as well the pumps. And these two, you can do two exercises. So one with the strokes, so we're trying to get as far as you can, as fast as you can, and only using your legs, you can try to pump and to move forward, only pushing with your legs on the board. This is a good exercise as well, just to feel how you have to push on the board to make the foil go forward just by pushing and jumping on the board. So trying to do these two exercises separate, I think this is good, and then try to do it all together. So when you push on the foil, then you stroke as well. So you with your paddle, and trying to have a good synchronization of these two movements, and getting at the end, you want to get forward as faster as you can. So you're trying to get a good sensation about it, and training, and training. If it doesn't work for some people, it's working pretty easily, for other people not, so it's not a big deal. So training at some day it's going to work, and it's going to be
how big is your board? I have a 102 liter long narrow board, and I'm 72, so it's 30 liters over my weight. What is your size of the board?
My board, this is six inches and 6 feet, so this is about 2 meters. and the volume. So this is inflatable. So inflatable, this is always a bit more. This is,
but you know, I'm just looking for excuses because I saw a video of Gwen, who is actually going to be our next guest on the podcast, and he got up on foil on a sinker board, right? So there's no excuses.
And you have some guys, so they can start subfoiling like this on very small front wing as well. So
yeah, that's crazy. Less
than 1,000 square centimeters, they can do it. So
no excuses.
I know, but for sure, at the beginning, the bigger your front wing is, and the bigger your board is, so the longer your board is, maybe not too big, because if this is too huge, it's going to be... but maybe plus 30 liters compared to your weight, to be in this range with a very big front wing. This is helping. This is helping. So I think to get started, this is what you need.
But I would say that like for a person who never ever pump foiled, it's gonna be super hard to get it.
Yeah, especially if you do not have a background in paddle, in stand up. Maybe if you have a background in stand up, doing some stand up surf, maybe yeah. But otherwise, I think this subfoil flat water start, this kind of stuff, this is the most difficult foil activities without any foil activities. Yeah, the wing foil, this is the easiest one because
yeah,
you are
totally agree.
lifted by the wind, so this is easier. You are pumping, so the pump foiling, pumping a very small board, so this is better to feel the foil and to have an understanding on how it works. And subfoil flat water start, or even in the waves, you have to paddle, you have a very big board, and you have the waves or a very, very huge front wing. So yeah, I think this is definitely the most difficult activity, I would say. Yeah,
yeah, it's like the ultimate step, but then the last step. Yeah, agree totally. And then now, are you using the board that you're using for SUP even for wing foiling?
Yeah, for very light wing conditions, I am using this one. Yeah, because this is very, very easy to pump with the wing and to get started in very, very light wind conditions. Yeah.
And what I think is really cool about these long, narrow boards is you don't feel the length of the board, and you don't see it neither, because you're standing pretty much to the front and it's narrow and it looks like a small board while riding.
So my 6 feet, 6 inches. So this is not that big compared to my, for wing foiling, I'm using, I think it's a four feet, the board that I'm using. So this is, you have a lot of length behind you. This is helping you when you push on the board to accelerate. And so it feels pretty okay, and especially for light wind conditions. So you do not need that small board. But this is definitely a very good one for light wind conditions and for subfoiling. So this kind of narrow, long downwind boards. So they are amazing. Yeah. When they did this kind of board.
Can I ask you a few things about you as a content creator? Because I'm very interested in that. I don't know. I remember what was the first video that I saw of you. Maybe it was one with the chair or your tomahawk starts and these different starts. Do you ever foil without filming anymore?
I foil a lot without filming. Yeah. So the most of the time, so I do, especially if, for instance, I do this long distance pumps as a ride. This is without filming because I need to focus and
focus.
the camera is not here. And for the freestyle moves, so you need as well a lot of training to be able to do it. So I train a lot without filming, and when I got the moves, or when I want to I did a personal record, something like this, but I'm going to film. So I'm just filming on purpose when I have something to show something. So this is, but of course now also the camera is with me all the time, and if I want to film something, I will do it spontaneously, depending on what I I have in mind, but so I'm doing both actually. Yeah.
I saw a big difference in the videos, like maybe a month ago. It really changed how you talked in the videos, and it was much quicker. Was that on purpose? Did you plan on changing your appearance a little bit?
Quicker? You mean I was speaking?
You were speaking quicker, more enthusiastically.
Yeah. But you know, so doing some videos like this, is like pumping. So you are learning it. So at the beginning, you are not so good at it. Maybe, and then you are getting some experience, and so you have with your personality and so on, you are making some progress. So this is more or less the same for the videos, I would say. It was something new for me. I started doing some videos because everywhere I went for foiling was always some people coming to me and talking to me on how it's working and so on. So this is still pretty new, this activity, and a lot of people is fascinating by it. A lot of people wants to do it. I was watching a lot of videos when I started pump foiling. It helps me a lot. I was the first year, for instance, pump foiling in my town here in Germany. Now there are more and more people doing it, so it feels good as well to share your experience to help people when they want to get started. So that's why I started doing some videos, and as well I did it as well, especially for the short videos, because I think this is personally a good souvenir or memory for myself to see the evolution of this activity for yourself. Because this is amazing. When I look back at a couple of months ago, and what I'm capable now of doing, this is just amazing, and this is going to be even more. So we are not done with this this activity. I think there are a lot of things coming up and so on. So that's why I started doing these videos, and maybe my English or speaking and so on, it's getting a bit better, hopefully.
You said you watched all the videos. Who inspired you? Whose video did you watch?
So a lot, Gwen.
Classic.
Mentioned previously. So it was like this, and then I don't really remember the other guy. So this one was I watched a lot of videos, and then other guys just doing some videos like this. It was just a couple of videos that they had. So without remembering the name of this guys, it was a great help at the beginning. And I think it was, this is when you want to get started, this is good to watch some videos to get an understanding on how you do it, and then to do as well your videos to see what you are doing on the water, and to try to understand better, or you will understand better if you are doing some videos of yourself, or making videos of yourself, what you're doing good and what you're doing wrong. So making some videos, this is good to progress as well, and it helps me a lot as well when I'm doing some videos. I can and even now I can watch and see if I'm doing it right, or how I can do it better.
Are you using Gong gear, which for me is really good because I use the same stuff? Have you ever been contacted by them, or are you sponsored ambassador somehow?
They sent me a couple of gear, so front wings to test. Especially the big ones. So the one that I used to learn subfoil paddle up, and to make my biggest personal record. So it was one of the biggest Cirrus front wing. So I used this one for the very long distance rides. So let's say I get a couple of material from them. And this is good, amazing, because as you said, Gael, previously, this is a lot of fun to try different front wings, to try different setup. This is working fine for a lot of them, but the feeling is a bit different. And then you can say, okay, so this one is, you can do this kind of things with this one. This one is a bit, maybe a bit easier, but you can't go for a very long long time, so you get the feeling on how it's working and why you have different kind of sizes, of shapes, and so on, and to try to understand why they did it like this and how it feels on the water. So this is very, very interesting.
Exactly. Even without being an engineer or a physician or something, you really understand a bunch of things. Like you can understand that flatter wings are maybe more efficient to be long distances, but then maybe they're not super curvy. And then you feel that when they have a bit of shape, then you have to press a bit more. You have less, it's like less hard, I would say. And then, I personally right now, I'm kind of in love of this more connected feeling that you only have with smaller foils, a bit more shade. Just because, I don't know, I like to truly really go a bit faster and give these stronger strokes. That's why I want to get into smaller foils rather than long distances right now.
Yeah. So that's you try different things and then you can see, okay, so this one, I prefer this one, so I can focus a couple of weeks, months on this one. It's just having fun at the end. So depending on what you want to do, and you have different way of pumping, and this is great because you just have to find your way, what you want, and go for it. Yeah.
You told us, Lido, that you want to try some smaller foils, maybe some wing foil, front wings. Is there anything else we can expect from you? Things that you have planned?
I don't know. So there will be in the future, because what I like this is as well. So this kind of combination between the activities. So for instance, pump foiling. So I when it was a bit windy, I started pumping with a wing. And I did this combination between pumping and wing foiling. So this is great because you can with a very small, almost no wind, a very small wing. You can pump around the lake, but when you are a bit tired, you can go with your wing. So this is as well a lot of training because if you fall, you have to swim. So you always have to get the better of it. And last time, what I did, this is with my first pump foil setup. So I had I used a surf foil board, a very small surf foil board. So this is a sinker board. I use it wing foiling as well. So it was very windy. And I sink the board under my feet because this is only 30 liters. And I started like this in the middle of the lake, so wing foiling with this very small surf foil board. So this is this kind of this connection. And then now what you have, this is this para wing that are coming. And I'm very, very interested in this combination between pumping and using this para wing to go to pump for a very long time using this one when this is windy.
So you would take your para wing with you, just pump foiling, and then when you fall in the middle of the lake, you just take it out and get back off.
I think I would maybe this one, but this one would be with a kind of surf foil board where I can get on my knees on the board, but as well doing a beach start with a pump board. So I'm doing a beach start and the para wing is on my bike. So I go pumping, I don't know, as far as I want, and then so I take the para wing and then I come back on the starting point. And then I pump again. So this, it would be to pump like forever with a wind of, I don't know, maybe I could imagine a wind of about 8-10 knots, doing this combination between pumping and using the para wing. So I don't know, para wing, I think it could be a very, very nice thing, with pumping. Let's see. So this kind of stuff. But it's always amazing because you find always new things, new way of starting, pumping even very small wings or even pumping huge giant front wing, just to try it. And you pump for 2 hours. This is a lot of fun as well. So always something to try and something to new coming, I'm sure. So this is always always changing this this sport, yeah, and evolving.
We had like contrasty opinions in this episode and in the previous one, because we talked to a very, very good kite foiler and wing foiler, and he wasn't happy about these para wings, and he doesn't really see a future in them. But I can get it, because you know, he's used to other things. But yeah, he was mentioning that you really need strong winds, steady winds. But yeah,
and waves as well. On... Where he is just little winds, like 10 knots.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's probably why. But yeah, for sure, we want to see the development.
We have to see. Well, this is we have to see. So I never used one, so I don't know. But if this is not this one, it would be something else.
When I look at my list, I'm actually almost through with my questions. Carl, do you have anything else you want to ask Ludo?
I don't. Maybe he wants to share something that we didn't discuss.
No, so we discussed a lot of things actually. So I think I have nothing else in mind. But thanks again for the invitation. So it was very, very good what you are doing, your videos and so on. So this is great, and this is great as well of sharing what we can do. This is inspiring a lot of people, I think. And so foiling, honestly, this is something great. So it changed a lot my life doing this activity. This is magical, and a lot of people, I think, they are pump foiling. This is something pretty new, so you do not have that much yet. But a lot of people are looking this very fascinating, and I think it's going to grow very fast in the coming months and years. So a lot of fun, definitely.
Well, cool. Thank you very much. Maybe you can just send us some photos that you want to share with that podcast, so we can add that to the notes for the next episode. That's going to be a big one. That's going to be with the goat himself, with Gwen. He's having a downwind race in France, and he's probably going to talk about downwinding. And I mean, I'm just going to fanboy out. I mean, he's such an inspiration. He's such a nice guy, and I'm really looking forward to that episode.
But maybe you want to share your channel, Salido. Maybe there is someone here
absolutely.
That doesn't follow you. So where they can find you, and what's the tag?
So my channel. So this is on YouTube. So Ludo Freefoiler. So I'm doing some tutorials and some short videos, and as well in Instagram. So this is the same. So Ludo Freefoiler on Instagram. I'm posting so every week a couple of videos, photos, and so on of what I'm doing, what I learned, and I trying to make some slow motion tutorials and so on to help you guys as well to get started. So you have a lot of this kind of videos already available, but I think the more the better. We have a bit of different kind of tips doing it and so on. So this is where you can find me, and this is such a an amazing journey. So if you are a bit reluctant of getting starting, especially pump foiling, just go for it. If you are not living close to the ocean or the sea, and if you are lakes close to your home, do it as well. This is as well a lot of fun, pumping and doing some foil activity in lakes. I thought 2 years ago it was not possible, it was no fun. I did it, and it's a lot of fun. So just join the adventure. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. We're gonna put
you.
your contact in the show notes, so people can find you easily. And thank you very much, Ludo. Thank you.
Great job. Thank you. Have fun, and see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.